Well, I do appreciate you coming out to worship with us on a Sunday night. I know Sunday can be a busy day, and many of you have very busy lives. And that doesn't necessarily meant to reflect on those who aren't here. Simply saying thank you for coming out and worshiping Jesus Christ with us and encouraging one another, right? This has nothing to do with the message. A lot of discouragement going on. A lot of people that have challenges. We all face difficulties. We all face problems. And one of the reasons we come together, we sing together and worship together is because we all need to be encouraged, right? We all go through difficult times. We find things happen to us in life that are challenging. And just coming together, worshiping Christ, talking a little bit before and after the message, I trust the message itself will be an encouragement to you. And again, appreciate you coming out. In any discipline, I think, in any hobby, any area of interest, usually there's jargon. There are terms that people use, right? I got Brandon and Blake up front, and they both enjoy basketball. And I could ask you you already think I'm going to talk about the Cavs this week. How many of you thought I was going to talk about the Cavs this week? I'm not. I'm not because I knew you would be thinking that, but I will. Okay. What's a triple-double? There you go. Points, rebounds, assists, at least in two digits, 10 or more. Triple-double. Now, how many of you knew that? Triple-double. But for many of you, you don't really follow basketball. And it's not a hard thing. You just didn't know that, right? You know, maybe some of you, that I enjoy motorcycles very much. I used to have an Airhead, and then I got an oil head, and now I have a hex head. And if you're familiar with BMW motorcycles, that makes perfectly good sense. If you're not, that would just seem odd. And I talk with some of you, and you will sometimes use jargon. Some of you are into computers, and you use various types of computer terms or mathematical terms or engineering terms. And there's nothing wrong with that. Now, the reason I bring this up is I can remember many years ago becoming a believer, and it's a common thing to ask people, you know, like, what are you hoping to do? Remember, I came to know Jesus Christ as my Savior when I was in college, and so I would ask other people, you know, what are you majoring in? What are you hoping to do? And some guys would say, you know, I want to be an accountant, or I want to be a businessman, or I want to be a nurse or a physician. I want to maybe own my own business or be a teacher. And every now and then somebody would say, I hope to be a tent maker. And I would think, that sounds weird, you know. I want to be a tent maker. I guess that would be different than a backpack maker, you know. Like, I've never thought of that. Why would somebody want to grow up and make tents for a living? And initially, I didn't know that they didn't mean tent maker. That when a Christian uses the phrase tent maker, it actually refers to something quite different. It's not literally a reference to I want to make tents. And I can remember being interested in that. And then, of course, over time, you read the scriptures more and you attend services and you hear messages and such. And you come to realize it's actually kind of a metaphorical phrase for a way that we can all serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Tonight's message I've called Tent Makers, and we're going to look at Acts 18, verses 1 through 5, and actually a number of other places. And for some of you, this might be a review, but I hope it'll be an encouraging review for all of us. I hope it'll be a challenge for us to serve the Lord Jesus Christ with everything we have, including our vocations. Father, we thank you. We thank you that you are a gracious God, and that you have, through Luke's pen, given us this wonderful account of the spread of the gospel. And even as we open back up in Acts and look to other passages, Lord, please illumine our minds to the text. And more than just understanding historically more about what happened in the early church, we pray, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts and challenge us and encourage us to be faithful as we would seek to bring you glory with our lives. Well, thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Again, the title of the message, Tent Makers. I'm in Acts chapter 18, if you want to open up, if you're not there already. Notice it says, after these things, and this again relates to our morning message, after these things, 18:1, Paul left Athens and went down to Corinth. And he found a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, having recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had commanded all the Jews to leave Rome. So we talked about that this morning. There was actually an official decree. Claudius was angry at the Jews. He kicked them out of Rome. And it may have been in part because they were arguing about Jesus. Because remember, the historian said it was about Christus, which may be a Latinized form of Christ. Well, it says in verse 2, he came to them, and because he was of the same trade, he stayed with them, and they were working. For by trade, second time it's repeated, they were tent makers. So here is the Apostle Paul. And what do we know about Paul? Paul made tents. Literal tents. He engaged in tent making. That was a skill that he had for the purpose of advancing the gospel. Now, what was Paul actually doing in this account? He was working to make money. He doesn't go to Corinth for the purpose of making tents. But here he is sharing the gospel. We talked about it this morning. And he runs out of money, and he doesn't have anybody with him. And remember, he's already sent for Silas, and he's already sent for Timothy, but they haven't come yet. And he's in this great city of commerce, a great city of immorality, and no doubt he's ministering, but he's out of money. So what do you do if you're Paul? You work. And that's what Paul did. The Jewish rabbis, from what I read, always had a trade. See, they wouldn't just go to, I'm going to use today's language, they wouldn't just go to seminary to be involved in full-time vocational ministry. They would actually have something they could do with their hands to fall back on. Just a simple illustration. I won't use his name. There's a young man who worships with us regularly, but he's not with us this summer. Because he's right now at the Army Chaplain School. And his goal is to be a chaplain and to share Christ in the military. Now, he's in the process of that. And I guess there are certain hurdles, certain things that have to happen. And then, Lord willing, he'll become a chaplain, which would be a wonderful thing. But he knows it may not work out. He is paying his way through seminary by welding. He's a welder. And his plan is, if it doesn't work out, that he can become a full-time vocational worker, that is, be involved as a chaplain. Then what he wants to do is he wants to support himself through welding and yet still be actively involved in gospel ministry. That would be the heart of the Apostle Paul. Here he is. He's a believer. He would love to just share the gospel. But when money's tight and no one's around, what does he do? He finds two people, Priscilla and Aquila. You guys need help. And he's making tents with them. Now, you might be thinking, well, what about this live with them? Okay, some of you are familiar with this from your travels. You know, in other countries, it's very common even today, right, that you'll have a little shop. And where do the people in the shop live? They live upstairs. And so if there's a Priscilla and Aquila and they're making tents, it would be a very normal thing in this part of the world that they would have their first floor shop selling tents, and that in the evening time they would just board it up or pull the shutters, whatever they would do back then, and then go upstairs, and that's where they would spend the evening. So to have a Paul show up and say, hey, I need some work, and they say, hey, we have some work, then Paul would stay with them. And this is what Paul's doing. He's making tents to provide income. Let's make the application to us. Most of us have vocations. And one of the reasons we work is to generate income. And one of the reasons, that's not the only reason we work. But one of the reasons we work is to generate income. And one of the reasons we generate income, not the only reason, is to support Christian ministry. How do people go out, people like we saw in the video last Sunday night? How do you go out like Matt and Becky? They weren't in the video, but from our church family in Cambodia. How do they go out in Cambodia and engage in vocational ministry? Someone has to help them. And so what do people like us do? We go to work every day and we make money, and then we take a little portion of it. And even as we just prayed at that microphone a little bit, and plates are passed. Because we know that one of the reasons we work is there are boys and girls and men and women in Cambodia who need to hear about Jesus. And so we all add a little bit together and we can support a Matt and a Becky and who else? Many, many other people. A week from tonight, Lord willing, I won't be up here, or at least at this time, I don't think. We will be watching a video from Chad and Cherry. And they're going to be talking about their goal of going to Berlin and sharing the gospel through sports ministry with Muslim refugees. You say, okay, so how is Chad just going to get up, quit his job, move over there and do this as ministry? Because people like you and me will go to work every day and we will take a small portion of our income and we will, when the plate comes by, put it in there. And those funds will be pulled together, and thus we can help support different people as the church would vote. Now, again, it's just a church congregation, church family that has to vote whom we support. But this is why we work, one of the reasons why we work. So we see Paul made tents to advance the gospel. Working, making tents provides income. But more than that, working provides opportunities. I alluded to this morning. It's not clear from the text, but notice in verse 2, it says that Paul found a Jew named Aquila, and then it says in verse 3 he was of the same trade. Second time, they were same trade, tent makers. It doesn't say Priscilla and Aquila were believers, so we can't be dogmatic. But you know what may have happened? Paul is in the city of Corinth. No money. He doesn't just say, forget this gospel stuff, I'm going home. He says, well, if I work 6 days a week, I can still talk about Jesus on the Sabbath. So he walks around, sees Priscilla and Aquila got a shop. You guys need work. Yeah, I can make tents. Show me. You're hired. And here is Paul working with them. And these two people perhaps aren't even believers. And then they're spending time together. And Paul is working on, you know this phrase, a redemptive relationship. And no doubt they're noticing, hey, this Paul comes to work every day on time. He doesn't punch in late. I know they wouldn't have a time clock, but however they would say that. And he's not even, you know, he doesn't have an alcohol and drug problem, right? I mean, here is Paul working hard, being a good testimony, and talking about Jesus. And we know that at least one of them is Jewish, Aquila, perhaps Priscilla as well. And it may well be that through the work opportunity, they came to know Jesus Christ. Work provides opportunities. It provides us with opportunities. You know, sometimes we think of people like a Chad going to Berlin or maybe a Matt and Becky heading out to what, Cambodia. We think that's the mission field. When in reality, the mission field is wherever you are. And for many of us worshiping in this room, your mission field would, of course, be your neighborhood. And then secondly, it's where you work. Many times, Nancy, my wife, has come home and talked to me about different people that she works with. She has a type of employment, a business where she goes and helps other people, different very small companies, what have you. And a number of times she'll just come home and we'll be talking about somebody that she works with. And she'll be talking about a certain, you know, man who used to go to a gospel preaching church and now he's an active homosexual and we pray for him. And she talks about opportunities she has because, see, they know who she is. They know she's, I don't know how this gets out, but like if you're a pastor's wife, people know that, you know. And so if you're an active homosexual, you're expecting, oh, she's a pastor's wife at one of those conservative churches, and she's probably going to roll her eyes at. And she has the opportunity to actually go out of her way to say, how are you doing? How was your weekend? How is everything going? And then occasionally, even in town, we'll be at different places, and she'll say, hey, Greg, come here. I want to introduce you to someone. You say, why? Because that's your mission field. But that's your mission field, right? You know, through the years, we've had many visitors come to our assembly. And more than once, hey, I've never met you before. I'm Greg. Oh, I'm so-and-so. I work with this person. Occasionally, I work with one of your daughters. Or I work with so-and-so. Or I work with this person or that person. And that's how it should be, because your work is your mission field. See, work provides more than just income. Work provides opportunities to minister. This can even include going to far away places, right? I'm using another example. I won't name their names, but you know who I'm talking about, a young married couple from our assembly that are now serving as nurses in China. And you can't be a missionary there, but they're not missionaries, quote unquote. They are in China teaching nursing at a leading university. And the whole reason they're doing that is to share the gospel. And so what do? We pray for them. We treat them just like our own missionaries, even though we don't give them anything financially. They're actually receiving income from the school they teach at. But even for them, my point is that work provides opportunities. That's for all of us. Paul made tents. He was a tent maker. We have vocations that provide us with what? Income to support gospel work. And secondly, that same work can provide us with gospel opportunities. Now, that's true of the Apostle Paul. I want to spend a little more time tonight making it clear that that wasn't true just of the Apostle Paul, but it was also true of Priscilla and Aquila. This married couple, believers in Christ, perhaps through Paul's outreach, as we've talked about, they also made tents to advance the gospel. You say, how do you know that? Well, Priscilla and Aquila, as we've just read, they have the tent-making shop where Paul is staying. And Paul makes tents until, as we read this morning, verse 5, Silas and Timothy came down from Macedonia. And then they brought money with them. And once they gave Paul the offering from the church of Philippi, Paul didn't have to work those other 6 days. Verse 5, he began devoting himself completely to the word, solemnly testifying to the Jews that Jesus was the Christ. Okay. So what happens with Priscilla and Aquila? No doubt they served with Paul and they used their tent making business for God's glory. They had to. And you might be thinking, Greg, how do you know that? Because the next thing we read is they leave Corinth with Paul. And Paul goes to Ephesus and they go with him. Okay? Drop down. Here we are in Acts chapter 18. This will be a little bit new. I'm getting ahead of myself, but let's go ahead to verse 18. Verse 18, Acts 18, 18, Paul, having remained many days longer, took leave of the brethren and put out to sea for Syria. And with him, here we go, were Priscilla and Aquila. Verse 19, they came to Ephesus and he left them there. So Paul leaves Corinth. Paul takes Priscilla and Aquila with him. I mean, here's this Apostle Paul talking to Aquila and Priscilla. You guys are such a blessing. And you're using your tent making for the ministry. Would you be willing to change your location and open up a tent making shop in Ephesus? And they go. Here they are. We don't think of them as vocational missionaries. They're certainly not apostles like Paul. And yet they moved with Paul to Ephesus and they actively served Christ. What kind of things did they do? Drop down to verse 24. We'll see at least one. In verse 24, Acts 18, verse 24 says, now a Jew named Apollos, an Alexandrian by birth, an eloquent man, came to Ephesus. And he was mighty in the scriptures. This man had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he was speaking and teaching accurately the things concerning Jesus, being acquainted only with the baptism of John. So here's Apollos, very eloquent, right? Mighty in the Old Testament. That would be the reference to the scriptures at the end of verse 24. But there were certain things he just didn't understand completely. And you say, who's going to be a blessing to him? Notice verse 26. And he began to speak out boldly in the synagogue. But when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. Praise God for a couple that will take their business and they will move it from Corinth to Ephesus. And again, that's not right next door. Here's the map that we're using, and I know that's kind of hard to see, but it's our first and second missionary journey map, so here's the close-up to help a little bit more. Here's Corinth. This is where they're serving at. Paul says to Priscilla and Aquila, will you go with me to Ephesus? That's not next door. And they go. And they, I would assume, begin a new business. Because they wanted their lives to count for Christ. They wanted to use their vocation to serve the Lord. And here they are now in Ephesus, making tents. And a guy like Apollos comes by who needs a little bit of help. And they're going to help him because they want to be a blessing. And they're furthering the work of the gospel. In fact, we know that God used them even more than just with Apollos. And I know that from 1 Corinthians 16:19. Now, I have that up on the screen here. Paul is writing later a letter back to Corinth. Okay? So here's what Paul says. The churches of Asia greet you. Aquila and Priscilla greet you heartily in the Lord with the church that is in their house. Now, Paul is writing this letter from Ephesus. We'll get there in time. So here's the Apostle Paul later in the city of Ephesus, and he's writing a letter back to Corinth. Now, the believers in Corinth would know Priscilla and Aquila. And Aquila and Priscilla would want to say to Paul, hey, Paul, if you're writing a letter back to Corinth, tell them we said, hey, what's true of Priscilla and Aquila? There is a church in their house. These are the kind of believers that their heart is what? We want to share the gospel, and once people come to Christ, you need a place to worship? Oh, we have a little tent shop. And you would certainly be welcome to come into our tent-making location, quarters, and come together and worship Christ with us. I say praise God for people like Aquila and Priscilla. They move with Paul to Ephesus to serve Christ, which is enough. But the story continues. And then we find that Priscilla and Aquila return to Rome to serve Christ. When Paul says, are you guys game to go from Corinth to Ephesus? Yeah, we'll open up a business there, Paul. We just want to serve Christ. And people are coming in our home and there's a church. Great. And guess what? Claudius's decree is no longer in effect. Now they have an opportunity to go back to Rome. According to Romans 16, 3 to 5, what do they do? Okay, Paul, obviously Romans. He's writing to believers in Rome. And what does he say as he's ready to sign off Romans 16? He says to the believers in Rome, greet Prisca, another form of Priscilla, and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who for my sake risked their own necks, to whom not only do I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles, also greet the church that is in their house. Paul refers to this godly husband and wife as fellow workers. This is Paul. He's an apostle. God speaks to him, and it's in the Scripture, okay? God gives him visions, and they're from God, right? I have visions. They're not from God, right? You have dreams, and it's from whatever, eating too much late at night. Paul's different. God reveals truth to him. He serves in a way that is so special. And Paul says of this couple, they are my fellow workers. Not only that, but they have risked their own necks. Praise God for a couple that would do that. Again, it bothers me when people roll their eyes at me when I'm trying to witness to them. This couple, they not only risked their necks, but you could see here, guess what they're doing back in Rome? Also greet the church that is in their house. I mean, they could have started their own denomination, you know? Every place they go, Priscilla and Aquila, where are they? At the church. It's not that they're going to church. It's that wherever they open up a tent-making shop, God's people are welcome to come in and worship. I wonder if I use my house that way. I wonder if you are using your home that way. Priscilla and Aquila were. They returned to Rome to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. So they what? They moved with Paul to Ephesus to serve Christ. They returned to Rome to serve Christ. And then here's where we wrap up. They used their lives to serve Jesus Christ. Their goal, best I can tell, was not to start some kind of new tent fad, you know, or have just, again, the highest sales in tents or whatever it can be. I don't think they were appearing on Shark Tank with new ideas for tents, okay, if I could say it that way. But they were using their lives, according to 2 Timothy chapter 4, in verse 19, to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. How do we know that? Well, again, we're putting pieces of a puzzle together. But Paul, writing to Timothy in Ephesus very late in his life, the Apostle Paul getting very close to going home and being with Jesus, as he closes his second letter to Timothy, greet Prisca, that's Priscilla, and Aquila, and the household of Onesiphorus. And even as Paul's life is coming to a close, he wants to make sure that he sends this greeting to this couple that he made tents with, who spent their lives trying to further the gospel. And ladies, can I encourage you with the thought that it is not typical, especially then, to put a woman's name before a man. And the fact that it's typically Priscilla and Aquila rather than the other way, it's just an idea. But many people say that it may have been that Priscilla actually had the greater ministry. And that she was the one with the, not that Aquila didn't, but that she was the one with the heart for Jesus Christ. And I think we all know of couples, right? Where there's a married couple and they both know Jesus. But you would say there's something about her that's special. She, her heart just glows with the gospel. Perhaps that's true. And perhaps this is God honoring her by putting her name first, perhaps. What have we seen tonight in this very simple message on tent making? That it's not just the great Apostle Paul who engages in making tents. It's Priscilla and Aquila. Summary. The Lord uses tent makers like Paul. And praise the Lord for people that go into full-time ministry. And they want to spend all of their lives maybe being chaplains in the army or something. And yet, if that doesn't work out, hey, that's no problem. They'll weld. For Paul, you know what? If I run out of money, I'll make tents. And I'll try to lead people to Christ in the tent shop. The Lord uses tent makers like Paul. Now, if I just stop there, see, here's the thing. None of us are Paul. And we know that. Again, I don't think any of us would ever even claim to be close to being a Paul. But see, the Lord doesn't only use tent makers like Paul. The Lord uses tent makers like Priscilla and Aquila. And the Lord will use people like you and like me. And the Lord is using us and will continue to use us through our vocations. How? Two simple points and we're finished. Our vocations allow us to fund God's work. One of the reasons we should consciously think, I'm driving to work today, even though I don't like my job, is not because I want to pay the air conditioning bill, but that's okay, you can think that. I should say not only because I want to pay the air conditioning bill, not only because I want to get my oil changed on my truck, not only because I want to be able to eat ice cream each night, okay? One of the reasons I go to work is I want the privilege of helping boys and girls and men and women in Cambodia, in Italy, In other places that we support missionaries, I want them to hear the gospel. And I have an opportunity to help. And so today I'm going to work. And I'll take maybe just a small little portion of what I make. But I'll add it to what you give and what you give and what you give. And we put it all together. And it means something. I may have mentioned, I think, last week in a sermon, perhaps, I went up to visit my mom and dad. My mom's a believer. And I went up and surprised them. And I was talking to them, spent a couple days with them. They've had some health issues. And just a wonderful time. I love my dad. I love my mom. And I don't think this is too personal to say. I've been trying to help Chad get ready for his presentation next week. So Chad emailed me his video. Hey, Pastor Greg, can you check out my video? Give me input, whatever. Of course I will. So I'm at my mom's house on my computer watching my video that Chad and Sherry have put together. And I'm watching it, and I'm blessed by it, and it's wonderful. Now, my mom's a believer, so I say, hey, Mom, you want to see something? She said, yeah, what? I said, well, come here and look. She said, what is it? I said, I can't explain it. Just come look. She said, what is it? I said, it's about helping people in Berlin to get saved. And she said, yeah, show it to me. So we go through the video, and she watches it. She says, Greg, who is that? I say, well, that's a couple. That's a family from our church. What are they doing? They're going to go to Berlin, hopefully, and share the gospel. Who pays for that? Well, Mom, we collect money as a church. We have missionaries. Remember, my mom's a believer, and she goes to the Catholic Church every Sunday with my dad, so she doesn't understand how we do stuff. And she says, Greg, I mean, that's expensive. How do they do this? And I say, well, Mom, we collect money. And she says, and you could send, like you can help. I said, well, we don't completely send, Mom, but we can give a certain amount of money to a family to go. And she says, and you do this for this couple. And I say, well, yeah, for more than one. She said, how many of these missionaries do you support? I said, Mom, I don't know, 20? She said, and you give them that much? And how many people go to your church? You know, 300-400 is pretty much high. And she said, and you support? Yeah, Mom, we do. And Mom, it's not hard because, see, we're followers of Jesus Christ. And we all give a percentage of our income. And we pull it. And now the gospel's going around the globe, right? And boys and girls, moms and dads, people all over the world are hearing about the gospel. And see, when you're coming from a Catholic mentality, you know, where you throw a 5 in or a 10 in or what, see, she's not used to that. And to her, it's kind of odd that we could do that. But all Bible preaching churches do that, right? And we're thankful just to be one of the many. See, our vocation allows us to do that. Praise God for making tents or whatever you do to earn the income. That's number one. Our vocations allow us to fund God's work. Number two, our vocations provide opportunities to engage in God's work. There are people you work with who, you know this, wouldn't give me the time of day. And if you said, hey, here's my pastor, Greg, they would think, I could care less about your pastor, Greg. In fact, I would want to meet him now that I know he's a pastor. I won't talk to him, right? There are people like that, right? I remember once we had a transient person who visited with us, and long story, but I gave him a ride, and I took him to a hotel, and I went up to the guy at the desk, and I said to this gentleman, I said, sir, my name's Greg, I'm a pastor, and before I could say anything else, he said, I could care less that you're a pastor, and now that I know you're a pastor, I don't want to talk to you. You know, and I'm like, well, you know, it's a blessing to meet you. I mean, what do you say? There are people who would never talk to me, and they work with you. And they know that you're kind to them. And they know that you help them. And they see how loving you are towards them. That's your mission field. And you would never, ever have an opportunity to interact with them. But God has given you that. And it's in your vocation. And you have the opportunity to make a redemptive relationship. And they know that everybody else in the plant or in the office or in the district or whatever tends to be like whatever, but there's something different about you. And by God's grace, those redemptive relationships will transition into gospel opportunities. And you're going to have the opportunity to share little bits and pieces of the gospel. And then by God's grace, hopefully one day, the whole gospel. And God is going to use you as you engage in tent making. I originally was thinking of wording this somehow, tent making for clergy and laity, right? For the Pauls and then for the Priscillas and Aquilas, but I don't believe in clergy and laity, so I had to get rid of that, right? We all are actively serving Jesus Christ, and one way is through our vocations. That was true of Paul. It was true of Priscilla and Aquila. By God's grace and for His glory, may it be true of us. Let's pray.